Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody. I am riding solo for this one, and I think at some point I'll bring somebody else on to discuss this topic with me, but I kind of wanted to just kind of riff on it a bit. I've been covering the Lakers now for about 5 years. I have dealt with quite a few off seasons at this point, and even before then, I was pretty heavily invested in how these off seasons were going to go and trying to get as much information out of it as I could, given how little access I had at the time, both to the Lakers or people who talk about the NBA or other writers. I've always been really interested in this stuff, and then that interest has just grown as I have, staked out a claim in this industry for myself. So today's show is going to be talking about how to get through an NBA offseason. It's a wild one, and each offseason seems to get crazier than the last. I think the first offseason where it really was insane that I can remember was that offseason where Kobe was demanding a trade, but even then, you know, Twitter wasn't really a thing. I think the very first true on hashtag rumor season was with LeBron and the decision and all that, and then it's just kind of spiraled from there upward. Actually, it spiraled upward in terms of interest. And so I'm going to get into some of why I think it's grown in interest there. I'm going to get into, and honestly, I'm just going to give you guys my best practices here. I'm going to offer you guys some space in my head. Fair warning, it's a scary place. It's a dark place. Right now it's a wine infused place. But that's today's show. First segment's going to be where I think this all came from. Second segment is going to be, you know, kind of the big points in terms of how to actually handle the season. And then the last segment will be kind of looking ahead to this offseason specifically. And also at the very, very end there, I'll probably touch on the Lonzo Kyle Kuzma stuff. So I hope you guys stick around. As always, you guys know where to follow the show. Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, you guys know. It's late. I'm just going to crank this out. So where this starts and why I think it's covered the way it is, we've seen this kind of transition, and some people are going to blame the sport or sports or leagues for this, but for some reason, fans are more interested in the transaction than the actual action. People, whether it's fantasy sports, NBA 2K or Madden or whatever game where you can be your own team's GM, like, people are more interested in how the meat is made than actually enjoying the meat. I think some of it has to do with the seasons being a little too long, especially in the NBA and in Major League Baseball. I think some of it has to do with in basketball. I think that, you know, I'm not willing to rule out the factor that the predictability of the sport might have on how things have kind of played out. I mean, hell, the Eastern Conference has been garbage for going on two or three decades now, right? So like, if you're a casual fan only looking ahead to the NBA Finals, well, then you're probably watching some of the worst basketball of those playoffs, right? So instead, what people are doing is they get invested in fantasy sports, and that's a great way to kind of learn about the league as a whole and see how you think compared to how other GMs think. And as you get your footing and you get more confident and that kind of grows, you start kind of comparing how you feel about how the team should be built to how the current GM or current president of basketball operations is building your favorite team, and you form your opinion that way. And now, given how much information you have to know about the salary cap, you have to know about player movement, contract details, and all of these things, and rookie contracts, and how the draft works, and and which players to look for in the draft, how valuable first round picks. There's just a ton of information that you have to know about. And what gets created is this kind of monster that is now at this point willing to take in any and all information that they can possibly get their hands on, which has kind of given way to an industry that benefits off of that desire. I'm going to talk a little bit more specifically about that industry and how to kind of sift through that industry here in a second. So in this industry, and look, I'm a part of it. I aggregate this stuff. I've worked with Harrison. I have done aggregation now for about 3 years, and that's not nearly as long as some other people who have done it have done so. But I've been experienced enough in doing all this that you kind of learn the ins and outs of who to aggregate, what fans are looking for, all of that stuff. And so I'm just going to let you guys behind the curtain here if this is something that you guys are interested in, and figure out what the steps I go through before I actually do any aggregating. So the first question I always ask myself anytime I see a leak is, all right, who benefits from this information now being public, right? So like so for example, right now there's a whole bunch of stuff about, oh, so-and-so prospect has been promised that they won't fall beyond, right now the Lakers Lakers are drafting at 25. The report right now is that they have made their promise to Kevin Huerter that he won't fall past 25. Right. And now if you're a team ahead of the Lakers that might be looking for shooting, well, then now you're thinking to yourself, well, shoot, I don't. Or if you're behind the Lakers, you're thinking, oh, shoot, like I'd like to get my hands on this kid. Maybe I can trade up and get this guy. Right. And so what you have is agents doing what they can to position their clients in a situation where they can go as high as possible, because that helps guarantee a little bit better contract situation moving forward for the rest of their career. And so what you have kind of going on is in this case, in this specific scenario, it's pretty easy to kind of see what's going on here. So like with somebody like Mitchell Robinson, I feel like the first thing they teach you on day one of being an agent is leverage the Lakers. Mention the Lakers. They have a huge fan base. People are going to be more willing to aggregate anything that says anything about the Lakers. Your name will be put out there more if it's connected to the Lakers than anything else that you'll see, or that with any other team. This is the best way to get your name out there, right? So like for somebody like Mitchell Robinson, who was a no-name kind of player, right? He was a complete no-name prospect. He didn't really go to college. He skipped that college to focus on preparing himself for the NBA draft, blah, 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 blah. And so if you're Mitchell Robinson's agent or people advising Mitchell Robinson on how to get your name out there, well, what are you going to do? I'm a no-name prospect. Here's a brand that almost guarantees that if enough people run with this bit of narrative, that my name will be put out there. Holy crap, the Lakers just promised Mitchell Robinson that they'll take him at 25, right? And so that's kind of, it's pretty easy to see that. And that's kind of, and you can apply that line of questioning to just about any rumor. If you see, like, for example, the Boston Celtics were talking about a Kyrie, and they've made kind of a habit of this at this point, where if a scenario presents itself that trading a star is probably best for them, you'll start seeing a little, a few questions about, well, behind the scenes this, and behind the scenes that, and or well, got to see what he might be able to get on the market. Well, we were kind of hoping he would take us up on this contract offer. And I'm not saying any of this specifically pertains to Kyrie Irving, but these are things that, like, executives who have people in the media who are willing to, I'm not going to go so far as to say do favors for them, but they are willing to kind of tie their name to stuff with some entities across the NBA than more so than with others. And so they go to that reporter that they feel comfortable with, and they'll plant something that they think will give them some kind of an advantage in one of the most competitive markets across all of industry in America and across the world. And so they try to gain their advantage there. And it's really important whenever you see one of these leaks come out, who stands to benefit from that information becoming public? The next bit of this is, unfortunately now, this is where, you know, some people will point to hashtag fake news and all that. I'm not going to get into that. I don't need to get into that. But journalism has kind of changed. It's not quite the same. It's not as pure as some would like it to be seen as. And look, I worked in PR. I've worked with journalists before, and there are favors that go one way and the other, right? If you just throw this out there, I will give you access at a later date kind of thing. Again, I'm not going to, and this is one thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to get into specifics. I'm not going to call anybody out specifically here. If I'm describing somebody and you think, or if I'm describing actions and you think that applies to somebody specifically, well, then that's on you. I'm not going to confirm any of that stuff. So please don't at me with, you know, hey, I saw you talking about so-and-so. No, I'm not going to do that. But what I was saying, though, is that you have to, at this point, take into account the reporter. Not just from a standpoint of, like I was talking about a second ago, which reporters seem to be most closely tied to certain organizations, right? Like the you know, I'm again not getting, oop, almost I caught myself there, but there are certain reporters out there who seem to have a foothold within organizations. It's not just a coastal thing. It's not just a regional thing. But some reporters have done their work, and to their credit, that's all part of the job to get yourself dug into an organization and be seen as the expert or the preeminent expert in regards to not just analysis of an organization, but also information on that organization. And what you get is some people are going to be more willing than others to ride with stories that paint the organization that they want to continue to have access to in a way that continues to get them access, right? Again, not getting in the specifics. I don't need to go there. I don't need to create that kind of problem for myself, but that stuff goes on. So if you see stuff from a reporter who you know is tied fairly well known to either a player or to an organization, you should probably take those things into account, right? The other aspect of having to factor in reporters into the reported information is, look, have you ever seen that person hit on a report before? Now, yes, you get situations where a busboy at a restaurant heard something from a meeting that they saw taking place at their restaurant, and they relate it and this and that and the other. Like, yes, situations like those arise. But for the most part, the people who are going to be hitting on the information, the people who are going to be getting these reports correct, are going to be the people that you typically hear from, right? In this case, I'm willing to name names: the Wojas, the Shams, the Sam Amex, and that list kind of goes on from there. And you kind of, from that aspect of it, if it isn't coming from those people, you should probably be dubious. What I usually try to do is, if I see information that would be aggregatable, I kind of pin it. I keep an eye out for it. And if it turns out that a bigger reporter or a reporter I trust more confirms the report of somebody else, well, then maybe sometimes I'll throw a hat tip out there to that first reporter. But for the most part, you know who, and if you really want to get through rumor season intact psychologically, then you should probably turn on mobile notifications for the people that I listed, right? And you know who those people are. If you're listening to this podcast, there's no way you don't know who some of those people were. I'm going to take another quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to wrap up bow. I'm going to tie a bow on this conversation and then get into some of the Lonzo, Kuzma, Magic Johnson, LeBron James stuff. All that here in a bit. we're back, and thank you again for listening to this show with me just riding solo on this. I greatly appreciate that. We've been talking all show about how to get through rumor season, right? And the last bit of I guess general information. And when I have somebody on the show, maybe I'll get into a few more specifics when I have ideas to bounce off somebody else's head, but the last bit of generic, I guess, advice I would give to somebody is, does it sound realistic? Like, this goes without saying, and yes, common sense is really poorly named, as so few people seem to have it. But when you're on the internet and you see that the Warriors are interested in trading for Anthony Davis and they might give up Jordan Bell, like, of course, like that should be the kind of report that doesn't need to be spread, that doesn't need to be thought of at all. It's not really a report. It's somebody throwing crap against the wall and hoping that something sticks, right? And so when you see stuff like that, I think the other day I saw one where it was like Al Horford for Carmelo Anthony. Like, why is that something that anybody would pay more than a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a second to, right? And here's where I would say that some blame rests with NBA Twitter, where we are in such a hurry to dunk on everybody and add our super snarky little 2 cents to whatever's going on, that you see that same report quote tweeted. Like, if I quote tweet it, and I don't even have the biggest audience, but if I quote tweet something, that's 8,000 whatever people that I have following me who see that report now. Now, that's not quite how Twitter works, but let's just make the math as easy as possible, and we'll say that if I quote tweet somebody's obviously false report, well, then now that's 8,000 people that wouldn't have seen it before. And if one of those 8,000 people happen to be somebody with another decently sized audience, another 8,000 or so person account quote tweets that, well, then we're now up to 16,000 with, you know, not without taking into account overlap between audiences here, but you're talking about 16,000 potential eyes that have seen this fake report. And that was the point of the fake report in the first place, right? Was that it was to garner attention for that person. And in that case, mission accomplished, right? Like, they aren't trying to hit on the report. Anybody who reports that the Celtics might be considering Al Horford for Carmelo Anthony trade isn't doing that for any kind of legitimacy. They just want attention, right? And when multiple people with decently sized accounts quote tweet in an effort to dunk on that person who made that obviously false report, well, then guess what? We all helped that person do what they were doing. We helped that person do what they were hoping to do, right? And that's not great. And so, you know, those are the kind of three rules that I try to follow for myself. Every so often I break them. Fortunately for me, I write at Silver Screen and Roll and work with somebody like Harrison and people like Kristen Rivas and Alex Regla and the entire Silver Screen staff. And everybody is really good at kind of communicating and figuring out, well, does this sound iffy? Should we actually run with it? If we're going to run with it, we got to make sure that we are crystal clear that we don't think that this thing is legitimate or legitimate enough to feel that concretely about something. And so, you know, that's the, I guess I said that last bit was going to be the third and last piece of general advice, but I guess my last bit of general advice is, and this isn't to tap myself on the shoulder, I'm not perfect at this. I've made a fool of myself on aggregating the wrong thing plenty of times over the course of my career. But I do think there is something to be gained in understanding which aggregators are worth reading, right? Like, just like there are reporters out there who you trust above other reporters, there should be also aggregators that you trust above other aggregators. Sites have trends. Some sites run with stuff that other sites aren't comfortable with, and it's because they are hungry for those clicks, right? And you know, one of my favorite / least favorite words in the entire industry is this this premise of clickbait. Well, duh, it's clickbait. Of course we're trying to bait you into a click. That's the point. That's how people get paid in this industry, right? Now, there are some that are more shameless than others, but and that's what I'm getting at here, is that there are some sites that if you see them throw a report out there, I would look to see if there's another report from a site that you trust a little bit more to confirm that report of a report or the aggregation of a report in the first place, right? And look, I guess the large overriding point here is that I completely get it. This is a ton of work just to figure out where LeBron James might be going maybe a half hour before everybody else. It's kind of ridiculous, but there's an entire industry that was built on top of this ridiculousness, and there's a ton of people looking to profit off of this. And what I'm hoping to do here is kind of help you guys out and help you guys figure out how to get through rumor season. I mean, hell, the NBA draft ended, by the time you guys are listening to this, 6 days ago, right? In that time, the Lakers have already committed to drafting both somehow, Herter and Mitchell Robinson. They are supposedly thinking about moving also, by the way, at the same time. They are also thinking about moving that number 25 pick to move up in the draft and draft Zaire Smith, because they really like him and they've met with him twice, right? Well, what's crazy, this is insane, but that same number 25 pick that they have promised to both Kevin Herter and Mitchell Robinson, and in potential negotiations to move up and draft Zaire Smith, well, they're thinking about moving that pick to get rid of the Luol Deng contract. Crazy, I know. They've found four different ways to use the same draft pick at the same time. It's insane. And by the way, a fifth way that they've considered using it, I'm told by the internet, is if LeBron James, or when LeBron James signs in Los Angeles, they're going to use that to get him immediate help. So there you have it. With one morsel, with one asset, the Lakers have been reported to be considering moving it in five different directions. And that kind of spells out the entirety of what I'm talking about here, is that, look, there's a lot of information to sift through, a lot of it. And what you have to be able to do is think about some of this stuff critically and figure out, where's the leak coming from? Who stands to benefit from the leak? Who's reporting it? Who stands to what trends does that reporter have in their reporting of information? Who's aggregating it, and is it worth paying attention to? Is that person who's aggregating it mentioning the fact that there are four other reports out there that say that same number 25 pick has been reported to be moved in four other different ways? Like, those things are all things you have to take into account, and it's exhausting. And by the time the NBA season rolls around, it's kind of nice to turn off your brain for a bit and just watch basketball. But this is where we are in 2018. This is where we are. All right, I'm going to segue really quickly and touch really quickly on the Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Lakers, Magic Johnson, LeBron James, LeVar Ball stuff. I'm just going to touch on it really, really quickly. And here are my thoughts. I think there's a ton of stuff at work here. I think Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma are close friends. I've heard that from several people, myself, several reporters who are more trustworthy than I am, have also reported and confirmed that, having seen those two interact whenever they're around that team. I don't think you interact with somebody on social media. You go out of your way on your days off to interact with somebody the way that those guys do. If there isn't a friendship that has been built and nurtured over the course of both of their rookie seasons. So as much as LeVar Ball stepped up and said that, you know, they aren't close like that and make no two cents about however he put it, I was a little dubious when I heard that, because, well, did your parents know exactly who you were close with? I mean, everybody has their best friends growing up, but how often did you have conversations with your parents where you said, well, you know, they would ask, hey, what happened to so-and-so friend? And you would say, I haven't talked to that person in 6 months. And they, oh, that's news to me. Like, that's kind of how it works with parents. And the other thing, too, is LeVar Ball has something to be gained by continuing, you know, forcing, not forcing, but having his kids be as close as they are, right? Like, it, when he went out there and he said, like, you know, Lonzo and Kuzma aren't as close as Lonzo are with his brothers. Well, yeah, they're blood relatives for one thing. And then the second thing is he's trying to leverage Lonzo's career into a career for LiAngelo and eventually a career for LaMelo. Like, if they aren't super duper close, eventually Lonzo might get kind of tired of dragging the family behind him, right? So you kind of need the family to be really close. The other thing too is that the thing that I kind of noted here was Magic Johnson. I think this was a really good move by Magic, and Ramona Shelburne reported that somebody within the organization, I would guess Magic, but you're more than welcome to guess whoever you think it might be, but somebody stepped up and said, you guys got to knock this off. Like, that's enough. Really, it's, you guys got to chill. And it was the right move because, look, the Lakers are heading into an offseason, and this is just another biggest offseason in the last 4 or 5 offseasons, right? Like, this is now hugest offseason that we've seen, number 5 on version 5.0. But the Lakers are heading into an offseason where they are trying to convince LeBron and Paul George, or and another star, whether it's Durant, whoever it is that you would like the Lakers to sign, like, those free agents don't have time for immaturity. If LeBron signs in LA and Kevin Durant doesn't come, which is probably still the likeliest scenario here, that Kevin Durant doesn't come with LeBron, but if LeBron signs in LA and is joined by Paul George, they still have to overcome the Warriors. And there's just no time for immaturity in that pursuit, right? And so I think this was a really good move on whoever's part that did it, that kind of stepped up and said, enough. And that's without taking into account, it's kind of a low blow that Lonzo mentioned Kuzma not having a dad. Like, I don't care how close you are, they've only known each other for a year, and there are friends who I would never make that line about, even having known them for longer than a year. Now, maybe their friendship is different, and maybe that's a generational gap thing that some friends are more willing to go there with than others. That's fine, you know, to each their own. But to me, I thought that was a little out of bounds. And I think when you take into account what they're trying to do this offseason, that low blow and everything, I thought everybody handled this about as well as you could hope. And kudos to Kuzma and Lonzo for reportedly taking all this in stride and realizing, okay, yeah, our bad, we won't continue with this stuff. That's great to see. So far, so good in that respect. This was the funny thing. Like, I saw multiple people roll with this as analysis, was that, like, as soon as the diss track showed up, and I think Lonzo released another song or something that people freaked out about, but as soon as those things were released, people were kind of saying, oh, that's it, LeBron's never signing in LA now, these kids are too immature. And I'm thinking, you know, if LeBron doesn't want to play with those kids, that just gives the Lakers the ammunition to land via trade another player who we would like to play with, right? And one would think that you could get a pretty nice return when you're trading somebody who had the impact that Lonzo Ball did, somebody who had the kind of surprising and exciting rookie season that Kyle Kuzma did. Right, like, if LeBron really wants to sign in LA, no song is going to deter him from that. What it might do is he might walk into the meeting and say, "Hey guys, I was already kind of iffy about playing with kids and trying to finish out my career going up against the Golden State Warriors with these kids, and this is it. Like, I know what they're kind of about now. I'll move them there." Maybe he does that. But for the most part, his decision, if he's already made it, is not going to be swayed by some song. It's not going to be swayed by some tweet at somebody about somebody's clothes. Like, that's, we aren't, what are we doing there? Like, lighten up a little bit. Have some fun. But like I said, I think everybody handled it really well. I'm going to get up out of here. My voice is starting to go. Thank you guys for listening again to me kind of ramble on by myself. I'm trying to get better at these as best I can. It's kind of awkward talking to yourself for a half hour. But as always, you know where to follow the show. Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Silver Screen, and Roll. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers. We'll be back at it tomorrow. I'll bring Pete on, and it's really rare that he sends me a message and it's a, you know, what he wants to talk about. He wants to talk about Chris Paul. So apparently I'll be talking about Chris Paul with Coach Pete on Friday's show. Have a great rest of your Thursday. Alex, if you're listening to this, congratulations on graduating. Love you, little bud. We'll talk to you soon.